Welcome to episode 177 of the Atomic Powered Supercast with your hosts Andrew, Jen, John, and David. This week, we read Old Man Logan by Mark Miller and Steve McNiven. And now, the cast begins.
Thank you for letting me know I won that mug, David, because for some reason, that thing wasn't posting. Like, it didn't show up. Their post didn't show up on my feed at all.
Oh, really?
And the message was in, like, the other section. So I wasn't, like, it didn't pop up that I even got a message from them.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, somebody won the mug. And I was like, and I looked at the names. So I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Andy won the mug? God damn it.
And the best part is that because for whatever reason their posts don't show up in my feed, if you hadn't shared your picture, I wouldn't have ever checked. So if you want, we can split the mug. I can have it one weekend, you can have it the next.
What?
There's this Star Wars podcast Andy and I listen to, and they had a contest where if you like shared their thing on Facebook, you got put in a drawing to win a mug.
Oh.
And Andy won the mug. But he didn't realize, and I was like, "Hey, Andy, I'm totally jealous of you." And he was like, "What?" And I was like, "You won the mug." And he's like, "What mug?"
Because I completely forgotten that I had done it.
That's awesome.
The podcast is called Star Wars in Character, and it's really funny. Like they pick like background characters from Star Wars, and I mean like figures, people that like walk across the screen for like 3 seconds, and like
they time how long that character is on the screen during the entire course of the movies, and sometimes it's like 5 seconds.
The
entire podcast about them.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's awesome.
Because the great thing about Star Wars is there's a massive backstory for
I used to have like an encyclopedia, and I was like, what the hell? So,
John, this was your choice.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I mean, I'll wait to get your reactions to it, but I'm so sorry. I opened my little folder, and it was 200 pages, and I went, oh, fuck.
Okay, you guys ready?
No.
Okay, I'll wait.
I'm kidding. I'm always ready.
That's your secret?
Yes, that's my secret. I'm always angry. Aw, that's cute.
John, this is going to be the first part of a 4-part series. Just because I realized that the next 3 after this are also X stuff, so.
Wait, what?
Nothing. It doesn't concern you.
Yeah,
I'm down with this.
Yeah. Okay. Are you ready now, John?
Are you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. Oh, you need a word.
Okay, I'm ready. You guys ready?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Welcome to another subtly pedophilic episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast. My name is Andy, and I'm hanging out with Jen.
Hey.
And John.
Hello.
And David.
I'm back, baby.
Yeah.
You thought you were out.
From the ashes.
So this week, we read Wolverine Old Man Logan, written by Mark Millar with art by Steve McNiven. It collects Wolverine 66 to 72 from 2003-ish, and Wolverine Giant-Sized Old Man Logan, which is also known as the issue that uses all of the red ink. So, okay, we were just talking about this, and I just want to bring it up front, because there's a lot of disturbing stuff in this comic.
Yes, there is.
There is. But by far the most disturbing thing in this comic for me is Hawkeye's daughter.
Why is that?
Because, okay, how old is Hawkeye, right? Like, in current continuity, not in this Old Man Logan stuff. He's like 40-ish, right?
He's probably, you know, they don't really age. He's probably, yeah, like, I'd say he's in his 30s.
Late 30s? I'd say like late 30s.
I don't know.
Yeah. Even
mid to late 30s.
Okay.
He's had time to hone his craft. He had time to be a circus thing and then be a bad guy and then reform and be a good guy.
He was a circus thing as a kid.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, be a bad guy and
they're
then reform.
They're called carnies, guys, not circus things. Okay?
And then, all right. But he
but
had time.
Do carnies, are they part of the circus?
Yeah.
I'm not even going to dignify that.
That's like the whole thing, dude.
But there's a carnival and a circus. They're not, anyways.
Jesus, what happened to you while you were gone?
I forgot a bunch of things. Like, what's a carny?
You forgot how carnivals work. How could you forget that? I don't know. Anyway, so he's like at least, in my mind, he's at least mid-30s. Okay?
Right.
How old is Peter Parker?
I would assume he's a little younger.
Fresh out of college. I'm going to go with like 24.
Okay.
Because we know he doesn't have a PhD.
Right.
Right, we know that from Superior Spider-Man. He does not have a PhD, so he's not like in the 26 range. I wouldn't put him in his late 20s, probably his mid-20s.
Okay. Right.
So Hawkeye is at least 10 to 15 years older than Spider-Man. But in this, Hawkeye's third ex-wife is Spider-Man's youngest daughter.
The youngest one.
The youngest one, and it specifies that. So that means that Spider-Man had time to have other daughters, and then this was the youngest of them. So then how, like... like, okay, this is borderline pedophilic, right? Like, because...
That doesn't really make sense.
Because by the time she's at least 18, that makes this Hawkeye... By the time she's at least 18... For Hawkeye to have married the youngest daughter, Hawkeye would be like 50, 60?
50. Yeah.
Yeah, that ain't right, bro.
But she doesn't look that old.
No, but this is his daughter.
No, we meet the wife.
No, I'm talking about you see the wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we meet her in issue too.
You meet her with stepfather Ultron.
Oh, yeah, Ultron.
She could be like 40.
Yeah, that's fine, but then this Hawkeye is like 65, 70-ish, at least.
Well,
70-ish,
whole...
at least, right? Because if she's 40, then he's... Assuming the day we stop reading current timeline comics, Peter Parker pops out a baby, that makes her 50? No, I don't know. I don't know. The point is, it's creepy as hell.
And it doesn't really make much sense than anything.
It doesn't make any sense. It just really makes Hawkeye really fucking creepy. And well, I was deeply disturbed by
that. He's creepy in this whole thing.
Yeah, hey man. Like, he's not
mad.
Creepy. Man, he's a hippie
man
is what
bro.
He fucking is.
Man and bro.
Yeah.
You know, if you guys are going to make fun of him for saying man, well, they really did not let you forget that Wolverine was Wolverine. Because every other word out of his mouth was bub.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
They broke Logan up.
But the thing is, that's expected. That's just like turning the dial to 11. I feel like Hawkeye's catchphrase is not man. And it came out of nowhere, right?
Man and bro.
And well, he got the circle glasses. Like, he straight up is a hippie. He has the ponytail and everything. Yeah. I don't know.
What a jerk.
He creeped me the fuck out, is all.
The whole disaster happened 50 years before this comic takes place, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Correct.
Okay.
So then he's like 80 or 90.
He's like 80. Ugh.
Right now. In this comic, he's like 80 or 90.
Well, he's got a lot of hair
Which,
for someone that
man,
old.
Man, he's very spry for an 80-year-old man.
I know.
They all are. Like, you guys are crazy. Especially Banner at the end. We'll get to that.
Isn't Wolverine, like, super old?
Yeah.
Well, he's already... Yeah, he's probably, like, 8 million years old.
Well, Banner looked like an old man, though.
Yeah,
Hawkeye but... looked like a guy you might see at a Fish concert.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, for Banner... That's the thing. Songs. Like, for Banner and Wolverine, it makes sense for them to not be dead 50 years after this happened. It makes total sense. One is a mutant... Literally, and the other one was mutated. But, like, Hawkeye's just a dude with glaucoma.
He's a dude, bro.
Man.
Dude, man.
Dude, bro, man.
Did you get the impression that they wrote in the glaucoma later? Because at first they're like, oh, he's blind. And then they had him doing all these things, and then at some point he, like, actually just shines a light on something and looks at it, I think. And then they're like, oh, it's glaucoma. Like, I feel like that was thrown in later to fix a continuity issue.
It would have been better if someone had driven up on, like, a bike and was like, we mixed your test results up. You're not blind. That would have been great. And then that guy immediately dies.
You get eaten by a moloid.
Yes.
I also want to say, I think Hawkeye is pretty stupid. Because he, like, does an under-the-table deal with a guy with a Hitler mustache.
Yes. Working
in the, like, Nazi-controlled part of this future dystopia.
Maybe he thought that guy was undercover.
Maybe. Oh, no, I get it, because he couldn't see it.
No, but he can see.
No, it makes perfect sense.
He couldn't see the Hitler mustache.
He couldn't see the Hitler mustache. He thought it was just like a shadow under the nose.
There's something on your face.
Oh, don't worry. It's just from lunch. It's just a little Worcestershire sauce.
I don't think he talked like that.
I don't think so either. No, the Hitler guy was doing that.
I don't think he talked like that. Yeah.
I don't know who talked like that.
Yeah, Hawkeye definitely did, though.
His name was Tobias.
Hmm. Yeah, that's not a good sign. That means you're born in, like, 1880.
He must be maybe he's a mutant, too.
Maybe.
Maybe he can retract the mustache the way that Wolverine does his claws.
It's adamantium mustache.
That would be terrible. This is my power.
Which, okay, I gotta say, speaking about, like just zeroing on a point, or, like, a little bit of, like, text that just keeps coming over, like Hawk Hefner saying, you know, man, and Wolverine saying, bub, it really kind of got to me that everybody was talking about Wolverine popping his claws.
Popping them.
I'm going to pop these bad boys. I'm not going to pop these guys out again. I'm like, I have never heard it called that before. I've never heard anybody say that Wolverine was going to pop his claws out.
Andy, this is the future, okay? Anything goes.
You're right.
It's new slang.
It's new slang. Popping.
Well, it's like those, what is that? What's that, Chip Pringles? They know that once he pops, he just can't stop.
That's it.
That's what he's scared of.
That once he pops, he just won't stop.
Yeah.
He's scared of eating an entire tube of Pringles.
Well, not again.
He was right. That isn't everybody.
Once not he pops, again.
Oh, man. So I want to point out multiple people in this comic have Hitler mustaches.
Really?
Like the guy who's tending bar for the Hulkbillies. He has a definite Hitler mustache. Sonny Stark.
Yeah.
Like, it is just straight up Hitler. And then right before that, even though it's not actually a Hitler mustache, one of the Hulkbillies looks kind of like he has one at the beginning of Old Man Logan, the standalone.
Hulkbillies.
There's a lot of Hitler mustache going on in here.
And we caught how the Hulkbillies came to be, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is very funny considering what that DC exec said today.
No, that was a David Goyer, yeah.
Yeah, did you guys hear about that?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
He said that She-Hulk was basically created as, like, if the male reader is going to put himself in the Hulk's body, then there has to be a female character strong enough to withstand that body's force upon it in a sexual way.
Jesus fucking Christ.
And so then you, of course, have to create She-Hulk, which, you know, is obviously, I think, what did she call it, like, Slut-Hulk or something like that? He called her that.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you doing? By the way, cousins, so no.
But actually, Andy, in this comic, yes.
Yeah, apparently.
He really had to, like, call that out in the most overwrought fashion, too. Yeah. Where he's just like, and I had to marry my first cousin. Like, dude, keep that to yourself.
So he talked about all that in the Old Man Logan Giant Size, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because it loaded for me with none of the word bubbles, because I was doing it on MDCU and it loaded poorly. And I was like, well, I don't need words for this. At this point, I don't need words. It's just
Andy.
It's just Wolverine going on murdering everybody.
It's true that I almost just wrote that as the last thing. He just kills everyone.
Yeah. So I didn't read any of that. But it's good to know, because you know what? That actually helps me with the problem I had with this comic. I did not understand why the Hulkabillies had deformations like buck teeth and stuff, because that's genetic, and Bruce Banner never had buck teeth. So I was like, where is this stuff coming from? But apparently it's from inbreeding.
Yes, that's where they all came from.
Oh, Jesus.
That's where babies come from.
That's where kings come from. Okay, well, that actually helps me then, because I was really upset by the buck teeth.
Wow.
That's what upset you?
Well, yeah, no, just the whole idea, like, okay, I get that 50 years happened and stuff, but, like, when did, like, I can't conceivably figure out how Sacramento, California turned into Alabama. Like, dialectically, they were speaking Southern, like, there were hillbillies in Northern California that were
Well, but the whole United States is just a freaking wasteland, except for where Red Skull is, basically. Yeah.
Red Skull and...
Excuse me, President Red Skull. Let's get it right.
Hammerfall was still pretty built up.
Yeah, there were some cities that were still pretty...
Most of the major cities were still around. Sacramento got the shit of it, I guess.
Just like in real life.
Well, and of course, Mark Miller had to kill the hippies in San Francisco.
It's true, he did.
You know, it's funny. If you wouldn't have told me that Mark Miller wrote this, that still would have been my very first guess about who wrote this.
Yeah, it's very... You could definitely tell.
It's very Mark Millar. It's old people killing young people. Teaching young children a lesson. Tons of blood. Shaky moral substructure going on here. Pretty much just like, damn kids these days, how do I figure out how to have Wolverine murder a bunch of them? I know, I'll make Hawkman do it.
Hawkman?
Oh, sorry, Hawkeye.
Fuck it, I'll just take characters from the other...
I don't know, Hawk something.
Hawk whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the Banners riding the Fantastic Four hovercraft thing? I was like, yes.
That was actually pretty good.
Just riding around on it. I just like how, as they travel, you can just see different, Venom T-Rex is one thing, which is awesome.
Venom T-Rex was fucking sick. I was, like, really worried about this comic, and I was like, well, this is, like, I get that it's Mark Millar, so I shouldn't expect much. Mm-hmm. I should just be excited by the spectacle of the comic and be like, oh, that thing's cool. Oh, look at all that blood. Because that's how you get through a Mark Millar comic. and I was about to lose it, and then Venom T-Rex showed up, and I was like, sick, I'm down. and then it went down like a little bitch. I was really upset.
Well, I mean...
Well, Black Bolt, bro.
Yeah.
No, I know, but I wanted to fight with Venom T-Rex. You didn't get to see him do anything other than the car chase.
Yeah.
Wow. Does no one have anything to say about this comic?
I don't know.
Can we talk about the day Wolverine died? Can we talk about that?
Okay, let's go.
With the X Mansion. So basically who it's like the most crazy villain. It's like Strife's in there. It's like, what the fuck? And they all attack and then it's not them. That's the best part. Yeah. When you find out that he's murdered all of his friends.
And he got beaten by Mysterio, who's like the worst. He's like the shittiest Spider-Man villain.
Mysterio's like, bro, what did you do?
No, that's the best when he
that's basically what it was. Man. Well,
See ya.
Sucks to be you now.
And then Wolverine just wanders for days and then gets hit by a train.
Okay, see, this is why I think they didn't feel like... This is... As a reader, I feel like I was able to tell that sloppy writing. Because, like, from the beginning, they get you with the train, and they're like, oh, they broke him. And, like, from, like, this third panel, you get the train. Right? And, like, oh, they broke him. Something with the train. Something happened. Maybe he lost somebody at the train tracks. I don't know. Something happened. And then later on, it's just, like, tacked on to the end of the tragedy. And it's like, well, the train wasn't really important.
Well, I mean, he tried to run himself over with the train.
Yeah, but he knew he
wouldn't die. He was just being, like, emo by lying down on a train.
Exactly.
Hey, guys. Sometimes the hurt is just enough, okay?
I know. No. That is so out of character for Wolverine.
Not really. Have you read where Wolverine goes to hell and then he comes back and murders all of his illegitimate children and then jumps off a cliff like 2 million times?
What?
I have not read that comic.
What the fuck are you talking about?
This is why we don't read more Wolverine.
Guys.
That is emo as hell.
Yeah.
I feel like I just maybe really don't like Wolverine.
Maybe.
Because... I was like, really? You're supposed to be a badass. And you're just going to go, I just needed to feel something.
But no. He didn't want to fight anymore. He just wanted to live his life with his family. He's like, I'm done with that.
I know, but he could do that with a head. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't need to get hit by a train to, like, start a new life. In fact, usually that's, like, not conducive.
I want to go back in time and put that in as my, like, high school yearbook quote.
I was about to say it couldn't hurt, but it really does.
Yeah.
You don't have to get hit by a train to start a new life. That's great.
Those are words of wisdom. Oh, Matt. Oh.
Oh.
The full page spread where he is, like, getting run over by the train.
It's hilarious.
The very next panel is single tier Wolverine.
Yes. Dude, Wolverine cries a lot in this.
Well, he killed his friends.
Yeah, they broke him. Do you guys not understand this?
All I can tell you is that for some reason, they felt the need to draw him with, like, really supple buttocks. When he's getting hit by the train.
Well, he's got to look good if he's going to die, or kind of die, and then come back.
It's just the part of the panel that, like, stands out the most, and then there's the one with the single tear.
Well, he tensed up when the train hit him.
Oh, man.
Can we talk about how he fought Bullseye for 90 minutes? But it turned out to be Jubilee. So am I supposed to believe that he fought Jubilee for 90 minutes?
And Jubilee put up a better fight than any of the other X-Men.
Okay, so that's the most unbelievable thing for me.
Jubilee was a better fighter than Storm, who can call down fucking lightning. Was a better fighter than...
You could pick out anyone in that panel. Everyone was a better fighter than her. But she was a better fighter than all of them somehow.
Well, I mean, it also depends on what kind of X-Men you're talking about. Is this, like, all of the X-people? Because I'm pretty sure Jubilee is, like, more badass than, like, Dupe.
X-people.
Yeah, but if you look, I mean, the picture has, like, Storm and Cyclops and Beast.
It's got Gambit. It's got everybody.
Yeah, those are all more badass. Yeah,
Psylocke. Absolutely.
How would Iceman. He even kill Colossus? Could he even, like, well, I guess Adamantium. I guess he could.
Well, no, and the thing he was saying, Mysterio was saying, was it was easier for you to actually fight your friends because they would hesitate and try to stop you. So maybe he was just like, no, stop. Oh, I'm dead.
I know, but once you got 4 or 5 in, I think they would, I guess they would still just try to restrain him.
Yeah.
Which, if you look at the art, that's what they're all trying to do, is restrain him in the fight.
And one of them turns around and goes, oh my god, before he gets murdered.
Yeah, that was really sad, actually, looking back on it.
Now you see why he's so sad and cries all the time.
and refuses to be called Wolverine. That was the other thing. They kept calling him Wolverine. He's like, that's not my name.
But, like, I get all that. I get all of that. I just don't get the train. And then I feel like the train was the sloppy writing. Like, the first
three
issues...
It's a new beginning, Andy.
Like, the first three issues, they put this train thing in, and they didn't know what it was going to be. And then when they figured it out, they were like, oh, shit, but where does the train come in? And they just tacked it onto the end for other reason than Wolverine has to feel something.
I'd like to think that they had some plans for the train. They're just like, you know what would look great behind Wolverine sulking? A train.
A train?
Trains are sad.
I just really like trains. Can we put trains in, please?
I mean, I guess you'd have to keep it that vague. Because if you show Mysterio, as soon as you start to see him fighting a shitload of villains, you kind of think maybe this is Mysterio. And you can't also just show a bunch of dead X people, because then you're going to get the hint that he killed them all. And then you wouldn't need to show us all those dead bodies, which Mark Millar probably really wanted to do. I don't know. I guess kind of, I don't know. It felt lazy to me in the moment.
Yeah.
You did not like this book, did you? And okay, Andy, did you like anything about it?
I liked Venom T-Rex, except he went down like a little bitch. I did like Spider-Man's granddaughter turning around and like getting ready to murder her father.
And cutting that king. I love that the kingpin was just a guy.
Yeah.
He's just some dude.
Yeah, so I don't understand. I still, like, he explained it, and this is because Mark Millar, that he killed Magneto because Magneto got old. But I'm
no,
pretty sure.
Where's the quote? I'm sorry, I have the actual quote somewhere.
Okay, good. Because I'm pretty sure, like, crippled, barely there.
Oh, like, bitch got old.
Yes.
That's the quote. Bitch got old.
I'm pretty sure, like, nigh comatose Magneto could still beat almost anybody.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy had velociraptors, okay? So.
Yeah.
Velociraptors that eat Punisher and Daredevil.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Yeah. So he did deserve to go down. And I don't know what kind of spider powers spider granddaughter has. Did she ever even get a name?
Her name is Tanya.
No, Tanya's the mom. She's
Ashley.
Ashley, okay.
Does she actually have powers is the question.
It didn't seem like it.
She just seemed to be wearing a costume.
She had a wrench, right?
She had and a giant like sword thing that she cut that dude's head off with. There are a lot of beheadings in this.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I'm not complaining, but
I kind of also liked Emma Frost. I feel like that's something she would do.
Yeah.
Was she married to Doom, Dr. Doom?
I don't know. Oh, I didn't pick that up.
I didn't quite get it.
Isn't Doom he's just watching and that's it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a big panel of him.
He's just like on a building and he's just like, all right. And then nothing comes of that, right?
Yeah. which really let me down because I love Dr. Doom.
And he looked badass in this, too.
Yeah. And old Doom is still a badass. It's fine. And it might have even been not even Victor Von Doom. It might have been Christoph.
Maybe.
He's younger, right?
Yeah.
It could have been anyone.
Who knows? Age doesn't really apply here. So.
Yeah. But I really did like that Emma Frost because this fits her character. And this stays true to her character in the current continuity and is the way she would be in older age, because she is really vain and she would use her mind powers, a considerable portion of it, to make her surroundings and herself look better. Like, I buy all of that. And so that was the one part I really liked about this. It was a little Deus Ex Machina, like having Black Bolt just be there and hang out and take down Venom T-Rex like it's nothing. But Emma was done well in this. And the spider buggy was cool.
So was that something that was actually in comics ever?
I'm sure at some point it could have been, but I have no idea. I don't have a definite answer to that. I'm just going to assume it was.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I'm down. Does whatever a spider can, right?
Yes, that was great. I was like, yeah, that's cool.
That's legit. I don't know. What moments did you guys like in this?
Silence.
There's four people here. So everyone's going to come up with more than Spider Buggy and Emma Frost.
Well, see, I'm actually having a problem with this comic because I read it through, and I actually really liked it on first impression, and then I sat down afterwards and tried to, like, think about what I wanted to write for the notes, and I was like, oh, no. So, like, when you say, what did you like? Well, when I was actually reading it, I enjoyed a lot of it. I thought it was, like, horrendously over the top in a good way. But, like, I don't know, like, thinking about it later, it has so many problems. And it's just, like, its wacky bent is not, I don't know, it's not quirky enough to save it from being, like, too falsely gritty.
I like that, falsely gritty.
It's like one of those things where from far away it looks good, and then when you get close and you can see the details, it's not quite the same.
Yeah, it's like when you're in HD.
I thought. I thought that the last issue, the giant size Old Man Logan, was probably the best single issue because, I don't know, I feel like that's where we really got to see. I mean, it wrapped everything up pretty nicely. I don't know. It's kind of hard. Like, I kind of agree with what Jen said about on first pass. I liked it too, but it's just like it's kind of shaky, like its whole structure and stuff. I liked the Red Skull in it. I thought that was kind of a. I feel like that's what Red Skull would do if he
won. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wearing that fucking costume around his house.
That still has blood all over it.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's just the dried blood of my enemy.
I think he was pretty well done.
And yeah, that's true.
The part where, like, Wolverine blocked his sword with Captain America's shield and he, like, freaked out. He was like, no, flashbacks.
PTSD.
Yeah. And then he got decapitated. That was another decapitation.
Yep.
That's how you kill people.
That was a good one, though. Like, I felt like that actually had weight. And then Wolverine puts on the Iron Man suit, which was not as necessary. But, like, I did appreciate that. It felt like good vengeance.
Yeah.
You know what else was good? When Wolverine didn't kill the Hulk baby.
Yes.
Like, that could have been a coin flip. With this comic, he could have murdered that child, and instead they chose to go like the redemptive route with it, and that pleased me.
Yeah, he has to start a new family
and a new group to take down these bad guys, so he's gonna train him to be crazy and cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we talk about how apparently Bruce Banner as an old man is super strong?
Yeah, how suddenly in his human form he can channel, like, a good chunk of his Hulk strength?
Yeah.
It's like, he's been the Hulk for, like, 100 years.
Yeah.
Starts to get into his regular blood.
Yeah.
I thought that was, I was like, what?
I thought that was kind of cool, actually, like Wolverine getting his ass kicked by an old man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's no Mark Millar story is complete without two.
You look like the guy from the Orville Redenbacher bag.
that is uncanny.
No, it was really neat though, because you get Wolverine going out there and you're like, okay, you know Hulk has to show up. You know he does. And then you see this old man, you're like, oh, he's gonna Hulk out and look all funny, and then he doesn't, he just punches him really fucking hard, like, oh, okay, that works too. So wait, tell me then, because I didn't get the text. Why is a former Avenger Bruce Banner like a slumlord now?
It didn't really say.
I honestly don't know if it tells you.
He kind of said he
got tired of being a superhero. Is that what he said?
No, yeah, he said that. Well, he said he was bored, but then he was like, "I'm bored of being a landlord." So it sounded like he was a slumlord before that.
Let me see if I can find it here.
I'm assuming that's in the text that I didn't get in my when I was doing my read through. But
it's in the last issue.
Because I was really concerned because you get the map and it says taken over from Abomination and they're Hulks and it's like okay, if Bruce Banner's actually involved in this somehow and you know he is by that point. It's like what the fuck, Bruce? You were one of the smartest people on the planet. You were like in the top five. And you ended up sleeping with your sister.
They kind of...
Or cousin.
They kind of imply that the radiation made him a little crazy.
Okay.
But it's like, I got bored of being a landlord, bored of being a supervillain. I needed someone cool to kill to make me feel alive again. And then he tries to huck a cow at him.
Well, that's why he's fighting Wolverine, but I don't understand why he became the villain in the first place. I don't know.
You know,
they don't say.
The thing, if they have that map, and I feel like the land used to be Abominations, so maybe he, I don't know, defeated Abomination and then...
Decided the way Abomination had things set up was cool and just stuck with it?
I get, who knows, man, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, I was curious about that.
To answer your question, Andy, we don't know.
Yeah. We can speculate, but
so that's
pretty much it.
I have two discussion points I want to bring up. So when I was reading this, I was reminded a lot about Kingdom Come, actually. Because we get Superman there being old and retired for entirely different reasons.
Also a farmer.
Also goes and becomes a farmer. But Superman does it because he sees the world going to hell in a handbasket and not wanting him. And so he basically just retires. And in this, Wolverine, the world goes to hell in a handbasket, and he's like, fuck it, I don't want to get involved in this, and retires to be a farmer.
You left out the part where he kills all of his
friends. Yeah, I know. But, like, he becomes a pacifist for entirely reasonable reasons. But I just wanted to talk about, like, a comparison between the two. Like, Kingdom Come, Superman comes back because he's like, these whippersnappers need to learn a lesson. But why does Wolverine eventually... I also had trouble figuring out what the tipping point was for Wolverine. Was it that Hawkman died?
I think it was that his family was slaughtered.
No, he did it. He did it before his family.
No, because he killed...
He killed Red Skull.
Yeah, he killed Red Skull. But he didn't use his claws, though.
No, his claws came out before
when he found out his
Red
family
Skull.
Was dead.
No, before
no.
Red
oh.
Skull.
Well, yeah, they came out the first time when the Hulklings were pushing him.
Do you remember... Actually, no, he was imagining that.
He was imagining that.
Everything goes to hell with Red Skull and his cronies... Wolverine says something like, I will not let my family down. So I think he knows he's going to die, but he knows they'll die if he doesn't come back with the money. Yeah. That's legit, not wanting your, like, wife and kids to die.
Yeah, during the whole Red Skull fight, he just uses Captain America's shield and the chair. I think he hit someone with the chair or something. And the claws come out on the last page of part 7 when his neighbor's like, they already came, Logan.
That's when the claws come out and it's like bleeding down his hand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Logan, don't cause no trouble now.
Yeah.
y'all come back now, you hear?
Yeah. Oh, there's a family lying on the floor there. You better not cause no trouble for the rest of us, Mr. Logan.
Do you guys watch Adventure Time?
Yes.
This reminds me of Tree Trunks. Oh. Your family's dead, but don't cause any trouble now.
Don't cause any trouble now. That guy was Tree Trunks.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that character.
Yeah, David and I are just in here. Fine.
That's fine. Whatever.
Well, I've seen some episodes of Adventure Time, but I'm not familiar with that character. I'll have to go find it now.
It's basically this farmer, but an elephant instead.
So do you which return to quote unquote return to form do you think was, I don't want to say executed better, because Kingdom Come is considered one of the classics of comic books. But I don't know. I wanted to bring them up for comparison, and then I had nothing else to say after that. I had nothing of quality to contribute other than the topic.
I don't know if they're really that comparable.
Yeah, it's not like Superman killed the entire Justice League.
Well, no, not in that regard. I mean, so Wolverine becomes a hero again. Well, he doesn't really become a hero again until the very end, after he's gotten revenge for his family. He's like, oh, maybe I should be a hero now. Right?
Yeah, well, now he doesn't have anything to lose.
But Superman comes back to like, set the world back into a better place because, like, Magog's Justice League and those guys were getting too uppity.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, I guess I feel like part of me thinks that Wolverine is not... There's, like, this reverence in the comic for him being a pacifist because of what he went through. And, like, I understand that bit, but his family's in danger and he sticks by his pacifism. And it's like, at that point, he's no longer doing it for the reasons he began. At that point, I think he's a pacifist out of fear and because he's grown into an old coward. And he doesn't grow past it until he believes he doesn't have much left to live for. Like, at that point, his family's practically dead already anyway. Until he finds the Iron Man suit, there's almost no hope of him getting home in 2 weeks. Almost none. So there's some hope in him, maybe, but basically his family's dead at that point, so fuck it. Kill people. What's the repercussion gonna be? Who are they gonna kill? Me? Please kill me. That's what he wants. Like, there's so much reverence in this, but I don't see him that way as a character. I see him as cowardly.
I think Hawkeye does too. I get the notion that Hawkeye is trying to be like, is trying to support his friend's decision, but he needs that, the at least part of the old Wolverine back to help him, whatchamacallit, like complete his mission. I mean, he didn't know that he was going to get betrayed by the little Hitler shield agent guy.
Maybe that's what the new H is in shield.
Hitler?
Strategic Hitler land. Yeah, it makes sense even.
It's all coming together now.
Yes, yes. I don't know, did you guys, is David with me? Is nobody else with me on this?
No, I'm with you. Green
is a coward?
I think it's the case, and I think it's also played up as his pacifism is more of a bad thing, because I kind of feel like the whole thing was also a setup for ultra-violence in the end, so Mark Millar could be like, oh, everything's gonna go batshit insane.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, in Kingdom Come, it felt like there was a lot of character development here. In here, it's more like, we know something's going to make Logan turn into Wolverine in the end. And it doesn't really matter what. It doesn't matter that his character develops. It just matters that he's going to become violent again.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it comes off as kind of cowardly and poorly thought out at the start, because the pacifism is more of a setup than anything else. Like, I actually feel like this story could have been really strong in exploring his character if he never did take out the claws, because who is Wolverine without that? And, you know, that would make it seem more meaningful. But no, he just murdered everyone.
Do you think that maybe, I mean, Mark Millar has a penchant for this kind of like ultra violence in comics, yeah. But do you think maybe it's a little bit fan service that he had Wolverine basically go like berserker rage and murder everyone because he thinks that's what people want or expect from Wolverine.
Oh, I think so. I mean, by you could have easily finished this within 8 issues. The giant size is just, okay, now that we finally got him to get the claws out, let's see him murder everyone. Yay! And fuck it. For shiggles, we'll also make the Hillbilly Hulks cannibals. Just, you know. It wasn't mentioned in the whole 7 issues prior, but let's make them cannibals so you really extra don't worry about them getting murdered to hell. It's just like, you could have wrapped it up easily in those 7 issues and not tacked on giant-sized Old Man Logan. I think that's just there for the ultra-violence, for the fan service, like you say.
Yeah, I think it's kind of that classic thought of saying, like, oh, if our readers don't get someone getting the crap beat out of them, they're going to be unhappy. They don't want a contemplative work about the meaning of loss. And, you know, maybe people don't, but at the same time, I don't know. This panned out a little goofy.
Well, I mean, it's also, there's so much buildup. Because pacifism is, it's put up front as being his new primary character trait, is his pacifism. And it's carried and it's carried and it's carried. And then at the end, he finally sheds it for what we can probably all agree is a good cause. Because a friend has died, one of his last friends from that era has died, and not by his own hand, but because he didn't have a friend sitting next to him. Because Wolverine was in trouble, or no, because Hawkeye was in trouble, and Hawkeye's friend didn't step up. Or didn't do the things that needed to be done to save him. Because he hesitated, because he was like, oh, but pacifism. And so he loses that. He loses that drive to be pacifist because he realizes that now that's the thing that's getting people killed. The fact that he turned pacifist because he saw his claws as being the thing that got people killed, and now he's realizing that not using them is the thing that's getting people killed. And so he needs to make that decision, and because he hesitates in that decision, people die, and then he eventually commits. Fuck, where the hell was I going with that?
I don't know, but it sounded pretty good.
Where do we start off?
Let's just stop recording and we'll start again. Let's just do it. It'll be just as long as this entire story.
Ah,
jeez.
Andy, you mentioned you put Bomb Queen down in the notes.
Oh yeah. I was gonna. It was in my other notes. All of the like supervillains in this seem extra stupid to me after reading Bomb Queen. Like, Bomb Queen was not an intelligent villain, but she still got the idea that you needed a thriving ecosystem to make it worth it. She nurtured her city in a way that it grew and brought in income for her, and they loved her, and she gave back to them. And she played it really intelligently. And here, all 4 of the ruling villains just turn their territories into complete desolate wasteland.
Well, I kind of got the idea that happened because of the battles.
Like that was the fallout from the fighting?
Yeah, I mean, like, they didn't really clean up. I mean, Hank Pym's skeleton was
dead bodies
and
just in
Loki's places. Was just like, Loki's was crushed under the Baxter building or something like that.
Yeah, in Nevada or some shit.
Yeah, and he was gigantic.
Which, oh man, that map was bad. It had, like, San Francisco way inland, and I don't know, there were just cities in the wrong place. I don't know why I got on that tangent. Anyway, they all, like, that's the problem with having read so many other comics, is that I can see somebody else's idea of a ruling villain and see it done right, and then I get this, and it's like, well, these guys are all just kind of stupid.
Well, the best ruling villain in Marvel Comics made a one panel cameo in here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I think Dr. Doom's a pretty good example of a villain who rules successfully.
Well, and that's the other thing. Okay, so then why is he even in America? That's another good point. Because doesn't Red Skull near the end say something along the lines of, you know, once America fell, he was talking to Captain America or talking to himself, like, once that happened, then what's the point of the rest of the world? And it's like, well, maybe Doom conquered all of Europe? I don't know. Yeah, but then, so why, yeah, then why was he there?
Why is he chilling on top of a building?
Because he's married to Emma Frost. And if you were married to Emma Frost, you would come to America too.
Yeah. Yeah, you would. So, well, maybe that whole middle chunk is his.
Although, did it actually mark it as his?
It says Doom's Lair or something on the map.
But it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, it's... Doom rules the Midwest. I like that.
Yeah. I guess maybe the new crime king, or new, the, yeah, the new crime kingpin, I guess he kind of got it. He was like, well, you know, you gotta make them love you, and he kind of built them up, and he also had the hammer fall, and he was like, yeah, I don't care. It makes money. I guess he did all right. Maybe I'm just more upset about the hillbilly Hulks and them being stupid.
Just, well, I mean, they are inbred. They're inbred hillbillies.
Yeah. So, I also like the art in this.
I love the art in this.
Yeah.
I thought it was very... Out of all the things that we've read, being the last four episodes, I thought this probably had some of the best art, in my opinion.
Yeah. I really like Logan with a cowboy hat. Yes. He looks badass. Cowboy hat and a trench.
Well, what I like about the art in this is that, you know, they could have, it's a gritty comic, but they didn't like just make it dark and say it's gritty. Like it actually looks like things have a grit. Do you know what, yes, I mean? Like everybody's, yeah, like everybody's face looks really weathered, like except for Emma Frost, but like everybody looks like they've been through some shit.
Yeah, and Emma provides a reason for why she still looks perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
A reason that makes perfect sense for her.
And so that, I think that was, it did a good job of conveying that, like, dirtiness without just making everything dark, you know? Because it's pretty bright. I mean, they're out in the desert and stuff. And there's night, and the coloring's really good. The art's really good.
So yeah, you know, you're right. Because the coloring, you're right. The way it's naturally gritty, the way it's balanced in the coloring, it's what stops this from being Dark Knight Strikes Again.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just super over-stylized in way too many places, and it's like, it pulls you out of the comic and makes you... It's like the art and the writer both screaming at you, this is fucking gritty. But in this one, I mean, they're old, and they've been through shit, and they work on a farm. They should look gritty. You don't need to, like, have an all-black background or whatever kind of fake gritty stuff you do when you're an artist.
There's also like really good use of shadow. Like there's line, yes, work everywhere, and it's never heavy-handed. It's just really delicate. And then when necessary, things are shadowed really heavily, and it has a really good impact.
I think with the subject of shadowing, there's a panel at the end of issue 69 where Hake goes after Logan and he's like, can you just tell me what is going on? And it's like Logan's face is half like in darkness, and it has the great like background, the different colored background of the sky. It's like dusk.
Ah, yeah.
And I think the other thing that I overall enjoyed about this is it really felt like almost an old Western story,
mm-hmm,
like an old Western like movie. It had kind of that kind of a feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it really did a good job of dystopian stuff in a lot of places, too. Like, it's really easy. It would be easy for this comic to go too over the top with that stuff. Like, go Mad Max meets Thunderdome kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you're right. In a lot of places, it was just like, the world sucks. So in Sacramento, they're farming pigs, and the people who rule the territory are doing it out of a fucking trailer park. Like, life just sucks out here. You don't need, like, crazy spikes on everything. You put crazy spikes on things in places like where the new crime kingpin is. Like, that makes... They did a good job of balancing that kind of feel of dystopian, too. Like, this is a destroyed planet, but there wasn't a nuclear holocaust or anything like that. It's just 50 years without any heroes, and the aftermath of their fight is just still laying around because them are they're trophies for the villains.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm going to leave Pym's body there. Hell yeah, I brought that thing down. Everybody can see it.
And I loved, speaking about trophies, I loved Red Skull's trophy room, where he apparently just cut off Ben Grimm's hand and just put it in. He had a good trophy room.
I'm pretty sure Beast's head is on
the wall. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yes. Beast's head is in there.
And I don't know if this is... And this is... I've been trying to figure this out for the past hour. The sword that Red Skull uses, I don't know how this came into my head, but it looks exactly like the sword that... Do you guys know who Black Knight is?
Yeah, that's... When you mentioned it, I took a look back and I was like, oh, that looks like Black Knight's sword. Yeah. I totally agree.
And it took me an hour to figure out who Black Knight was. So it's been driving me crazy, and I just figured it out. Black Knight. Yeah, it looks exactly like his sword. So that's like another little cool... There are a lot of little cool things in it that I dig. Especially Black Knight's sword.
Well, I mean... You guys know how I feel about this. What was your guys' like favorite moment in this?
Favorite moment.
I think mine is probably like single panel. I'd say when. Well, I guess it's a combination of two panels. It's where Red Skull says and where Wolverine blocks Red Skull's sword with Captain America's shield, and then Red Skull says no, and he's like having PTSD moment.
That was pretty good.
I think that's just like, I feel like that's how the Red Skull would like react if somebody was using the shield against him again. It probably would make him freak the fuck out.
Yeah. What about you, Jen?
I like the very last scene where he's like riding off into the sunset with the baby on his back.
Yeah, that's really good.
I thought that was a nice ending to a story that could have been like just really utterly depressing.
And then he murdered all of the younglings and became Darth Vader. Could have just as easily gone that way.
Yeah.
And then he's the ruler of Hulklandia or whatever the hell it's called. What about you, John?
I love the panel where it's Wolverine with Jubilee in his arms and all the dead X-Men around him. Because I thought that was a really great visual just to see, like, oh, damn, he literally just murdered all of his friends. And I also like Pym's body in the snow. It's just like, I don't know. I like that panel, too.
Yeah,
apparently, I just like everyone dying.
Well, I mean, for me, I think it's between two for me. For one, it's Mysterio when he says, bro, why'd you just kill everybody? I don't remember the exact word that he does there, but that picture of just like that big fishbowl head thing and then some smart-ass comment coming out of it after you just made Wolverine do all of that, it's like, man, you gotta have some fucking cojones. You gotta know that you broke that man.
Yeah.
That was a good moment. And then that moment also explains why they let him go. Because at that moment, if Mysterio can do that and say that, and Wolverine just basically walks away, yeah, you're done. You don't have to kill him. You don't have to worry about him. Yeah, you don't have to think about how you could possibly kill Logan, who can basically regenerate from anything. From an atom, he can regenerate, or whatever the fuck it is. You know, like, you don't worry about it. You're fine. You got him handled. Like, that explains the whole premise for this story, by seeing that reaction from Mysterio. The other one I really loved is the full page of Venom T-Rex.
Yes.
Because that's the thing of nightmares, and it's glorious. It's glorious.
And it looked really cool. They could have fucked that up really hardcore.
Yeah, because you see the Venom symbiote just like crawling out in the middle of the desert. I'm like, what the fuck is Dat doing out here? That's stupid. It's going to be something dumb. And then you see it on a T-Rex, you're like, oh, that wasn't that's badass. That's what I'm telling you. Like, that moment completely reinvigorated me in this comic. I was about to be like, ah, this is bullshit. I was like, eh, Venom T-Rex.
Thank you, Venom T-Rex.
It's amazing how much dinosaurs fix things in comics.
Are they cool?
All right, well, I mean, do you guys got anything else to say about this, or we want to get down and rate it?
I have one thing to say.
Okay.
And it's going back to Red Skull's trophy room.
Let's do it.
There's a giant purple pair of shorts.
Yes.
Did, when they divvied up the U.S., did he just, like, look at the Hulk and be like, hey, man,
give me
can I have your pants?
Give me them shorts.
Yeah.
My trophy room sense. Won't be complete.
That doesn't make sense. Why would his pants be there if he now is ruling a section of the country?
Well, he probably had more than one pair of purple pants.
Right, but, like, you obviously didn't beat him. I mean, maybe you did if you got...
Well, Red Skull didn't beat Beast either. Wolverine beat Beast. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, what are those pants doing there? That's a good touch.
But that's also weird.
I don't know. You know, keeping things within continuity within the story of this, it wasn't a strong point. It's okay. I think the problem with us in this comic is that this is a comic that probably just supposed to be fun. Just sit down, read it, and enjoy the ride. And you guys seem like you really enjoyed the ride. And now that we're picking at it, you know, like kind of, well, maybe it actually wasn't that good. But I think if you're just willing to be down for the ride, it's a perfectly fine comic, you know? And, like, if you're just down for the ride, you're not going to notice those details. Most people won't notice those details. In which case, it doesn't matter as much. So basically what I'm trying to say is I'm going to give it a 2.5. I realize it's in my rating, so what the hell?
Nice segue.
So yeah, a 2.5. I mean, the ageism stuff really bothers me. It's all about how old people are awesome and young people are stupid because bitch got old. And it's like, well, it's obviously, that's just like taunting ageism. It's annoying. Young people aren't like that. Mark Millar, why do you think young people are like that? They're not. There's just nobody thinks young people are like that except for old people who are worried about getting old. Don't put that in the comic. 2.5. Who wants to go next?
I'll go.
Yeah.
I'll give this a 3. I actually enjoyed it, like, on the first pass, except for a few things. Like, it really did bug me that he fought Jubilee for 90 minutes. Like, that seemed so implausible. And things like Hawkeye saying man repeatedly, even though that's not, as far as I know, something about his character.
Hey, Bub. That might have happened to him.
Yeah, it's like Bub, though. We expect Bub. We expect, like, a superfluity of Bubs. But just so much man. It was like the Big Lebowski. Yeah, but I did think the art was really well done. Like, even if it wasn't, you know, really strict in its own continuity, it had really fun attention to detail. It had a light touch. It handled the subject well. And even the, like, super violent parts are, like, I think it makes them more tolerable to look at. Like, I don't want to see people getting slaughtered, but at least it's not super... It's gross, but it... I don't know. The art made it not so nasty. Let's put it that way. So I'll give it a 3.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking, what's that... what's that movie with the old guy in the car, Gran Torino?
Yes, with Clint Eastwood?
Yes. This is the Wolverine version of that movie. Like the superhero comics, an old man who just wants to settle down with his family and retire and then ends up having to come back and kick some ass, teach the young kids a lesson. I feel like that's what this was. Anyway, David, you want to rate it?
Sure. I'm also going to give it a 3. I was trying to think of a good way to describe this comic in like one word, and I would say this comic is neat. Because I think it's a pretty cool... It's a very interesting Wolverine story. And, you know, we talked about how great the art is. I think they did a great job on creating I don't want to say setting, because some of the cities were kind of dumb, but like the atmosphere, there you go. Yeah. They create a good atmosphere. And I did enjoy the journey of reading it, but now that like you mentioned, it's just, once we pick it apart and kind of try to dig into the details, there's a lot of stuff that just isn't that great. But I think if somebody likes Wolverine, this is a kind of a neat story. So, you know, I think 3 is a pretty good rating. So 3.
Yeah. All right, John. This is your last episode with us. not forever, but I mean, you had a good run.
Yeah, you say that now.
You had a good run. Time to leave a good impression.
You had a good run. Am I going to be exiled for 50 years and then you're going to kill my family and I'm going to come get revenge on a podcast?
If we're still doing this for 50 years, we're going to get a lot more listeners.
I hear you. The first time I read this, I read it all the way through in one sitting. And I really, really enjoyed it just overall. And then I read it again today because I procrastinated. And I still really, really like it. I like it that it feels kind of like an old Western movie, like the old sheriff is out of the game and he just wants to live his life. But some tragic events make him go insane and kill everyone or get revenge. It's just a nice revenge story. I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Ooh, top in the list.
I figured I would. but I love the art. I love all just like the little things, like that Dwight kid wearing Ant-Man's helmet.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
And just threatening to kill them with ants.
For 80 cents.
For 80 cents. So, yeah, that's another weird thing. Yeah, 3.5. I still enjoy it after reading it again.
All right, cool. So that wraps up this week. We were going to do this as a one shot, but then we got another guest host because I wasn't sure when David was going to come back. So we're going to actually read 2 volumes of X-Force next and then 1 volume of X-Statics. So we're not going to finish this one series. We're going to read on and do some more Extreme X people, X stuff, X. So after this, we're going to read X-Force New Beginnings. It collects issues 116 to 120 of X-Force from 2001. That run is written by Peter Milligan with art by Mike Allred. So that's what's coming up next week. If you want to know what we got coming up after that, the next X-Force and the next X-Statics, you can go to our website, which is www.apsupercast.com. On the right, there's a button that says Future Shows. Click on that bad boy, and you'll see everything we got coming up, including stuff we have coming up after this Extreme X People X Stuff series. If you have a suggestion for what we could read for you, the listener, send us an email and let us know at
AtomicPoweredSupercast@gmail.com. I almost forgot about that.
It's so good to have somebody say it reliably again. Last like month I've said it and been like, who the fuck is going to say it? I don't know. There's always social media stuff, twitter.com/APSupercast, facebook.com/APSupercast, and APSupercast.tumblr.com, which is where the real fun happens. And as always, please subscribe to us on
iTunes.
After a month of blatantly refusing.
I wrote everything down this time, and I was going to try and cut you off and say everything, but you were on such a roll that I didn't even.
It's okay. You know what? I got an idea. It's fine. We'll make up for it. So, anyway, until next time, everybody, goodbye!
Goodbye.
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 Yeah.